All right, we're going to talk a bit about heritage, because Heritage Day is coming up this week. It's a holiday where you celebrate heritage. Now, does anyone know what heritage even is? Yeah. Yes, you dress up with certain clothes that show your heritage. Yeah. A heritage that the Lord gives you as well, so there's a spiritual kind of heritage. Heritage is really anything that you've been given by the people who came before. From your parents, maybe your grandparents, or your great-grandparents, or your great-great-great-grandparents. And when we think of Heritage Day, we often think of things like the clothes that people wear, or the language that they speak, or the food that they eat. Those are all parts of a person's heritage because they come from their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. But there's a spiritual heritage as well. And we see this in the Lord's Word. There was a time when the children of Israel were in Egypt, and they were slaves there. And the Lord sent plagues on the Egyptians so that the Egyptians would release them. And the Egyptians let them go. And when they had left, the people were so grateful to the Lord that they said, "We're going to follow you, Lord, and we're going to do whatever you tell us to do." And the Lord gave them rules to follow. But the Lord knew that their children might not remember, and their grandchildren might not remember at all, and their great-grandchildren might know nothing about what was going on when the Lord had given them these rules. So the Lord said, when your children ask you about these, you have to do something. He said, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies and the judgments which Jehovah are rules from the Lord?" Why do we follow the Lord? "Then you shall say to your son, brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And Jehovah showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Bring us in to give us the land. Observe all these statutes for our good always, that so when their children ask them, why do we follow the Lord? They were supposed to tell them, well, here's all the good things the Lord did for us. He saved us from slavery. Now, that wasn't just for one generation, because these stories in the Lord's Word, all these stories of all the things the Lord did for people, these took place hundreds and even thousands of years ago. And yet here we are, and we can still read these stories and learn about the Lord. And that's our heritage. Now, for that to happen, there had to be a lot of people who passed on these stories to us. So I want to do something that might help demonstrate this. So I'm going to need a few volunteers. First, I'm going to ask someone who's maybe in their 60s or in their 70s if they're willing to come forward. You're not going to have to say anything. You're mostly just going to have to stand there. All right. We'll take someone in their 50s then. How about to start with here? All right. So, Tanya, if you could come forward and just stand right up here. Oh, okay. Tanya, you can stand here. And Daphne, you could come even further up. Okay, that's. Why don't you stand here? You can stay here. I was going to ask for someone younger next than Tanya. So Daphne, come up here.
I'm much older.
Not that much older. Just a little bit older. Okay, you can stand here. Okay, now look how far away she is from you, right? Now, Daphne's had a lot of life experiences. She's seen the Lord work in her life a lot, and she's had a lot of chances to learn about the Lord. But she didn't keep that to herself. Hopefully, she would have passed that on to other people, and they could learn about it too. Now, Tanya's a little bit younger, and so she hasn't had maybe quite as many experiences, but she also learned about the Lord from people who went before, and then she had her own experiences, that she could pass it on to someone else. So can someone who's maybe more like in their 30s or their 40s come forward? Let's see. All right, so we've got Max. Max, can you maybe stand right here? So we've got Max, who's a bit younger now. But he also has experienced the Lord, and he learned from his parents and his ancestors and other people who taught him about the Lord, and now he has something from the Lord, too, that he can pass on. Okay. Now, I want one of you guys to stand up. Who's willing? Okay, Yenzo. Why don't you stand right here on the right below the bottom step? Okay, so remember we said the things in the Lord's Word took place hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, but that we still have them, and it's because people have passed them on. So what I'm going to say is, Daphne, could you take that? Could you pass that to Tanya? And then she can pass it on. Let's see if we can get the Lord's Word all the way down to Yenzo. All right. So because people have been willing to pass on the stories of the Lord's Word, we get to hear it too. So we can be so grateful that we get to learn from all those older people about the Lord's Word. Now, Yenzo is holding a copy of the Bible in her hand. It doesn't stop there. Because Yenzo, and all of you guys, you're going to know the Lord in your own way. You're going to see how the Lord helps you in your life. You're going to have an idea of who the Lord is. And you get a chance to pass that on to other people too, right? So that you're actually part of this heritage. It doesn't just come to you and stop. You actually then share it with other people so they can know the Lord and they can learn how to love the Lord as well. So we can be grateful on Heritage Day that the Lord has passed down to us all this wisdom and guidance, and then we can have the chance to take what we've learned about the Lord and from the Lord and share that with other people so they can know about the Lord too. Amen. So, with Heritage Day coming up, we are going to think about heritage. It's an opportunity to think about heritage. And you may have spent some time this weekend, especially if your kids were in school and they were asked to wear certain clothes or maybe bring a certain food item to school, you might have spent some time thinking about, okay, what's my heritage? And you might have a heritage that you feel really proud of, that you enjoy and you like to celebrate. Or you might have a cultural heritage where you have a few options, maybe the different branches of your family, different types of heritage. Or you might be a little bit embarrassed about some of your heritage and try to de-emphasize certain aspects of it or not really appreciate some of the things your ancestors have done. Or you might not have a strong sense that you have a cultural heritage at all. You might just think, well, I don't know what clothes to wear. It's just me. I'm not sure what my heritage is. But one thing that you can't do is choose a different one, right? You can't have Heritage Day come up and say, like, I'm just going to pick this year, my heritage is going to be X, and then next year, you know what, I'm going to have a completely different heritage, right? Your heritage is set. It's what you have been given. You did not choose your heritage, and whatever it is set. You're stuck with your heritage. And that heritage has shaped you. And this is really important because some of the things that we take for granted as innate to us, as just, well, that's just who I am, are actually a piece of our heritage that was given to us, that's specific to the time and the place and the people to whom we were born and among whom we were raised. We have received ideas and attitudes and behaviors from our ancestors. And if we had been born in a different place to different parents, we would have different ideas and attitudes and ideas and thoughts and behaviors. Now, the fact that we inherit so much, that's actually mostly a good thing. We have a lot to be grateful for, I hope, and I think most of us probably could think of at least some of the good things we've received as part of our heritage. But a heritage can also be not so pleasant. And this is where I also want to shift levels from talking about cultural heritage to start talking about spiritual heritage. Because just as you have a culture or cultural heritage that you did not choose, you have also been given a spiritual heritage, a spiritual influence that is out of your control, and yet has shaped you, that has helped make you the person that you are. The teachings of the new church describe something that it calls hereditary or inherited evil. Okay, it says that everyone is born with some attraction towards evil, some attraction towards selfishness, and that comes in part from your parents and your ancestors. This is what the book True Christian Religion says. It says, but my friends, parents are the only source of inherited evil. Not the evil itself which a person actually commits, but the inclination to that evil. The before-mentioned inclination and tendency to the evils that are passed by parents to children and their posterity are broken only by the new birth from the Lord, which is called regeneration. So your ancestors had a particular tendency towards certain kinds of selfishness, and they passed that on to you. Thanks, Mom and Dad. And I know I can get, you can get a sense of this from experience, probably. I know I've had the experience of seeing a trait in my parents that I judge them for, and I think that's not a good way to be. And then I only to find that I have that exact same trait. And it's very frustrating. Like, the fact that you can see in your parents this bad trait that has now replicated itself in you. Now, not only is that frustrating, it can also feel really unfair. You know, you didn't choose to have the parents you were given, and yet you are stuck with their bad influences. So it feels unfair. But the truth is, even though they give us the tendencies, they kind of give us the context in which we face evils within ourselves, we don't get blamed for any of the bad influences our parents give us. Okay, we are not responsible for what they gave us. We cannot be, you know, we can't blame ourselves. No one else could blame us either for that influence that our parents give us. Now, the flip side of that is we also don't get credit for any of the good things that they give us, that we just take in. Now, that's not what everyone believes, right? I think we're probably in this room pretty comfortable with that idea, that you can't get blamed for your parents' evils, or you can't take credit for their successes. In ancient Israel, they really did believe that if the parents were evil, well, then the punishment is extends to the children too. You know, oh, bad parents, we're going to not just punish the parents, we're going to punish the children, and vice versa. And the Lord takes great pains to set them straight on that count, to make them clear, no, that is not how it works. And he talks in terms, in the prophet Ezekiel, of spiritual death or spiritual life. Okay, because spiritual death is the result of sin, spiritual life is the result of righteousness. So this is what he says in Ezekiel. Yet you say, why does the son bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawful and right and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. So they thought it was only fair. If a father was evil, well, his children should get some of the blame and the punishment as well. But an individual is only responsible for their own selves. The son of an evil man can be righteous. And a righteous man can have an evil son. And this is really comforting. Hopefully it's comforting anyway. Because it can free us from the burden of thinking that the heritage from our parents holds us back from being as good as we could be. Now remember, we can't change our heritage. We can't get rid of our heritage. We can't pick a different heritage. But this is making clear we're not restricted by our heritage. Now, in the modern Western world, like I said earlier, I think we've made a lot of progress, and we certainly don't punish people for the sins of their parents, etc., and so on. But it does creep into our thinking in subtle ways still. Have you ever felt guilty because your dad made a really racist comment at a party? Isn't that interesting? You're not the one who's making a racist comment, but sometimes you do feel guilty because of the things your parents say or do. Have you ever felt resentment at your parents, thinking like, oh, I'm just this way because of the way my parents raised me? Why didn't they do a better job of raising me? I'm kind of taking on a certain amount of guilt for your parents. We can, at times, in these ways, take on the baggage from our parents and impose it on ourselves and make ourselves guilty of it, regardless of what we've actually chosen as individuals. Now, ironically, one of the reasons that we struggle to escape the shadow of our heritage is that we mistake the things that we've inherited for things that are innately true about us. And we get confused about which is which. Because it really does sometimes feel like you are just innately, of yourself, broken or sinful or evil or selfish in a way that is unchanging and is just part of what defines who you are. You're stuck with that problem. And conversely, we can also sometimes feel like we're just good without any effort on our part. We were just born that way. I was born a good person. Isn't that nice? Now, if we want to break free of this problem, we have to start by realizing that many of those things don't actually define us. This is what the teachings of the New Church say. They say, if a person only believed, as is really true, that all good is from the Lord and all evil from hell, he would neither make the good in him a matter of merit, that is, he wouldn't take credit for the goodness, nor would evil be imputed to him. In other words, he wouldn't take the blame for the evil that's in him. For he would then look to the Lord in all the good he thinks and does, and all the evil that flows in cast down to hell from which it comes. But because man does not believe that anything flows into him, either from heaven or from hell, and he therefore supposes that all things that he thinks and wills are in himself, and therefore from himself, he appropriates the evil to himself, and the good that flows in he defiles with merit. So this passage is warning us against becoming either complacent or fatalistic about our heritage, about the things that flow into us, that come in from outside. Because there are things that we've received so early in our lives, when we were so young, that we just think that's us. We don't think of it as like, oh, that's something that's been given to me. We think that's just me. That's just who I am. And so we blame ourselves for the evil we see there because, well, I'm just this evil stuff that's in me. And we take credit for the good stuff. We say, well, I'm a good person because this is me. So let's start with the danger of fatalism that can come from thinking in this way. If you believe that all the evils inside of you are defining, they're innate, well, then what's the point of trying? You know, you're stuck with them. You're doomed to be selfish and materialistic. You know, take someone who's particularly judgy, and he comes from a judgy family. They can look at their background and their tendency and say, well, this is just who we are. We've always been like this. And when then that flash of judgment comes into his mind, he might not like it, but he might also think, well, that's just who I am. I got this from my parents. I got this from my family. This is me. And it can't change. What that passage is saying is that's not true. It might feel true. It might feel like this defines me. This is who I am. That passage is saying, no, that feeling of judgment came from outside of you. That judgmentalism is not who you are. It was given to you. You inherited it. But it's not you. And if it's not you, if it came from some other source, well, then it can be blocked and it can be gotten rid of too. For us to do the hard work of changing, we have to start with that acknowledgement of this is changeable. And we can tell it's changeable because it's not inherent. It comes from somewhere else. Now, that same thing, unfortunately, applies to good tendencies too. Tendencies towards goodness that we receive from our family of origin that flow into us from heaven. If we think those are innate and define us, and that's just who I am, well, then we might get complacent. Because if we start to think, well, I'm just naturally a kind person. I'm naturally a good person. I don't have to work on it. We don't actually make it our own. We're just doing what comes easily to us. If the only time we're good is when it comes naturally, it doesn't really define us. We haven't chosen it. So take someone who finds it really easy to be forgiving. Like they don't hold a grudge. Everything's fine. It's all good. No, it doesn't matter. You know, I'll forgive you. Just has never struggled with forgiveness. Now, that's a wonderful trait to have. And he could be very grateful that he has that upbringing or that heritage that's meant that he just easily forgives. But if he takes pride in it, and he doesn't realize that's actually come from outside of himself, if he said, no, this is just me, it's going to go wrong. Because the real test is not what he does when he doesn't care, when it doesn't matter to him. The real test is he still forgiving when it doesn't come easily or naturally to him? You know, if he's forgiving the 99 times when it just comes naturally, but the one time when it's hard, he doesn't forgive, then he's not actually a very forgiving person. So we shouldn't get complacent about these things that come easily to us that are good and start to think, well, just be, you know, this is just who I am. That's also a gift from the Lord. And what really matters is which of those do we make our own? Do we hold on to when it gets hard? So we don't get to choose either of those heritages, right? We don't get to choose what good things have been given to us and come naturally. We also don't get to choose what are the evils that we face. What are the hard things that we have to try to overcome? But we also don't get to take blame or credit for that heritage. So where does that leave us? You know, I haven't actually said anything about what to do with any of this. This has not been the kind of sermon where I've said, and when this happens, you do this. And when you know, here's this task for the week, and here's this task for when this situation comes up. Because in a lot of senses, this sermon is about a perspective. It's about a perspective on yourself and where things come from. Because before we can get to the action, we have to have this perspective. And it's really hard sometimes to believe this. And it was actually interesting that it was hard when the Lord first told people, you know, you can be different from who you are. You can be born again. They didn't get it and they didn't believe it. They thought they were stuck with what they'd been given. So Jesus had this little interaction with a man who was doubting, who didn't quite get what the Lord was talking about when it came to being born again. In other words, becoming a new person. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." All right, so Jesus is saying you have to be born again. Nicodemus points out, well, you actually can't be born again. You know, you can't get a do-over. You can't go back and be born as a new person and have a different heritage and a different set of baggages. You can't say like, oh, I wish I'd had different parents. Can I have a do-over, Lord? Doesn't work that way. But the Lord does insist there is a way in which you can be born again. But it has to be a spiritual rebirth. Through repentance and turning to the Lord, we actually become new people. And it's really important that we don't treat that just like a helpful metaphor. Like, okay, it's as if you've become a different person now. It's as if you've transformed into someone new. We literally can be born again. Spiritually speaking, the Lord can transform us into a different person. And that new person is not the person that we used to be. It is not that person who we were shaped to be by our heredity, by our heritage. Now, that heritage will always be our heritage, right? Again, you can't choose your heritage. You can't choose your parents. You can't choose your